Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. Today we are breaking down the Bucket game. It is Bucket Week, the final regular season game. Between the Indiana Hoosiers and the Purdue Boilermakers. It's rivalry week. It's my favorite week of the college football season outside of opening weekend, which is, you know, like Christmas. But we'll have all your Bucket game questions answered, hopefully. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. TJ Inman will be along with us shortly on this rainy day here in Indianapolis. Just to set the scene, for Saturday, it is a huge game for the Hoosiers, needing a win to get bowl eligible to 6-6 and go bowling for the second straight year. They will also keep the bucket for the fourth straight season with a win, their longest winning streak in the series since 1944 through 47. So that's huge as well. And Purdue is coming off another disappointing season. They have fired their coach already and have started looking for a new coach, and rumors are flying high. Right now we welcome in TJ Inman. TJ, how are you?
I'm doing okay. Yeah, it's interesting to be doing our final, I guess, hopefully not the final for the entire season, but the final regular season pregame podcast. It does not seem like that's possible, but here we are.
Yeah, the season, as always, flies by. It is super fast, 12 yeah. games, and this is a big one for IU, needing a win to get bowl eligible. They're coming in as 20.5-point favorites, is what I saw the last time I checked last night on ESPN, so you know, it'll be interesting to see what kind of effort Purdue puts forward. They've shown some fight in the first quarter and first halves of games. But once something goes wrong for them, it usually just the train goes off the rails, and so to speak. So what are your first thoughts for this game, TJ?
Well, I think the first thing that has to come into your mind is that Indiana is playing for a lot more than Purdue is from a logical standpoint. Indiana is going for their sixth victory, which would get them to a bowl game. Purdue is not, I mean, more than likely, they're not going to have anybody from this current staff, or very few people from this current staff employed there next season. So you're looking at basically the last game as the current program for them before the regime change, whoever that ends up being. So, you know, it's like you said, it's a question of what kind of effort Purdue going to put in. But at the same time, this is the bucket game. I have to believe that the Purdue players pride and would like to do everything possible to spoil Indiana's season, and more importantly for them, you know, prevent being the Purdue program or the Purdue group of players that drops the bucket four straight years. So you've got that going. But for me, really, this game is going to come down to does Indiana come out with a focus to play a clean game, to match and then hopefully exceed the energy level that Purdue's going to bring and the toughness Purdue's going to bring. Because if those things are equal, if Indiana plays a clean game and matches Purdue's energy and effort level or exceeds it, Indiana's going to win this game. I don't have any doubt in my mind about that if they do those two things. And we saw last night in the IU basketball game, we're not going to spend any time discussing it. I do not want to get angry again. But if you do not come and compete with urgency and purpose, anything can happen. And it did last night for IU basketball. They did not show up to compete with a purpose. They were, we'll just say, poor effort. Leave it at that. Indiana football on Saturday, the talent gap is not going to be as wide as it was between IU and IPFW, but still, there is a talent gap. Purdue has some good players, but there's an overall roster depth talent gap between IU and Purdue. And if Indiana comes out and plays with purpose, ball game, which means no stupid penalties, you know, converting scoring chances without special team screw-ups or you know, poor play calling in the red zone or poor execution in the red zone, you know, no turnovers or very few turnovers, if they can do that, I feel very, very good about Indiana's chances to win pretty comfortably on Saturday. If they don't, if they get sloppy in any of those areas, then you open the door for Purdue to be in a game and make it close. And then from there, all it takes is a couple plays, a couple bounces of the ball here or there, and you're not going to a bowl game.
I agree on all of that. And, you know, if IU and Purdue, if they play even in terms of, you know, turnovers and all that, you would have to think that Indiana has, you know, on paper more talent and all of that. But, you know, it is the bucket game, as you said. It's going to be, you know, there would be nothing better for Purdue than to spoil Indiana's season, spoil all their momentum that they've built up over the last two seasons. And then, you know, who knows, the hot rumor is that Les Miles is going to be the guy in West Lafayette, and you know, as you could debate the success he's going to have or might have, but that's a hire that's going to move the needle up there, that's going to catch recruits' eyes. So this is a big game for Indiana to keep the momentum they've built in recruiting, in just building that program and trying to, you know, continue to get it out of the basement. And you know, Indiana football has had a big hole to dig out of, and you know, you just look at the series with Purdue. You know, historically, Purdue leads the series 72-40 with six ties in there. The bucket, you know, that they've won. You know, if IU wins this weekend, this will be their they would clinch a non-losing decade for the first time since the 1990s. And I believe the third time overall. I put that in the numbers that matter. So this is historically, you know, if you start getting turning these tides, now you're starting to climb back into the series with Purdue a little bit more, and you know, try and get that record to look a little bit better. But you know, to me, it's going to come down to mistakes. If IU turns the ball over, this Purdue offense can capitalize. They have a very good quarterback, you know, David Blau. I say very good because he has the talent to be great. He leads the Big Ten in passing yards with 3,127. He has 23 touchdowns. He has a big play receiver in D'Angelo Yancey, who's, you know, could go over 1,000 yards for the season if he has a big game this week. But you know, that can be dangerous for IU. However, Blau has thrown 19 interceptions. The team has thrown 23 and add in 7 fumbles. They're minus 18 in turnover margin. And now there are teams, I looked it up the other day, there are like 64 teams who all year have created 18 turnovers. And they're minus 18 in that department. So it's gonna come down to that. If IU could get some takeaways and get them early and rattle Purdue, this team might quit early. You saw it last week against Wisconsin after it's TJ Watt. TJ Watt
made that ridiculous interception and returned it for a touchdown. And Purdue just, you know, folded up camp and moved on. So, they're going to be fired up. Their coach had some good quotes. You know, they remember their loss in 2013 where IU came, you know, across the field and grabbed the bucket away from them. They haven't won it since. So you're going to get Purdue's best effort this week, I believe.
Yeah, I would think so. What we don't know is what does their best effort look like now. I mean, you mentioned their passing attack. D'Angelo Yancey, certainly the deep threat. I mean, he's averaging 20.3 yards per catch. That's what stands out to you is when he doesn't have a ton of receptions, but I think it's like 43 or something. But when he does catch it, it's usually a big play for them. Runs
43 receptions, 20.3 yards per catch, which leads the conference.
Yeah.
Another amazing stat, TJ, just to get off of the bucket game for a second, is Austin Carr has 80-some-odd receptions, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
He's far and away the leading receiver in terms of catches in the Big Ten. So that's just a fun tidbit for today.
Yeah, Austin Carr, I would certainly think, has earned himself a spot on the All-Big Ten team. Well, I know we're putting all of ours together, each of the writers, and we'll have our regular season All-Big Ten honors out, and the players that we award them to will certainly celebrate, I'm sure, throughout the Thanksgiving holiday. But,
that's
Jamal
all
Marshall,
they're going to be.
Who needs
all the players are waiting for our All-Big Ten to come out.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So after Yancey, Bilal Marshall, Cole Herdman's their tight end, Dominique Young and Cameron Posey are really the other targets. Each of them are right around 30 catches, give or take a couple. Posey is kind of a slot type guy. Cole Herdman, kind of a safety valve tight end, a little bit similar, maybe a poor man's version of Mike Gesicki in the way that they use him. Dominique Young, they expected a lot more out of him this year, but he's capable. Bilal Marshall's a good athlete that they like to try and get him the ball in space, let him run. So it's a dangerous passing game, especially if they get into a rhythm. I think the key for Indiana's defense, and the secondary is coming in with a lot of confidence. I mean, look at what they've done against some very good passing attacks. Now, Michigan in that weather, plus with John O'Korn's recent inexperience, and then, kind of some limitations that the coaching staff put on that passing game because of the type of game that it ended up being. But still, 59 passing yards, their fewest in a game since 2001. Nebraska only had 208 passing yards. JT Barrett had 93 and only completed 9 passes. So the secondary has been pretty good for Indiana all year. So they come in with confidence. I think it's going to be important for Indiana's pass rush, which has been pretty good recently. They continue to rack up those tackles for loss here in the last 4 weeks or so. It's been a big uptick in that. I think it's something that is really positive to see. And the secondary play will just continue to prove as that pass rush continues to develop under Mark Hagan and Tom Allen. So I think you're looking for them to pressure David Blau, force him into mistakes. I think that part of the reason for his interceptions is probably a feeling on his part of every time I'm out there, I have to make something happen to keep us in the game or to try and get us back into the game. I think he forces things, and under pressure, if you do that, you're likely to make some mistakes. So that's what Indiana needs to do, force him into those mistakes with a good pass rush, good pressure, and then Rashard Fant, Ashawn Riggins, and the safeties hopefully can capitalize on any errant throws and come up with the picks, those takeaways. I think that'll be the game plan. The rushing game for Purdue, very weak. Markell Jones has not been healthy. He's got a shoulder injury. He's gutted it out, played through it. The offensive line, very poor run-blocking offensive line. They're pretty good as pass blockers, not exceptional, but decent. But I mean, as a rushing attack, they really don't scare you at all in the way Indiana's played typically against the run. I know Devion Smith was had a good game against IU last week, but I think overall Indiana's run defense, you feel pretty good about what they've done this season. So, your first goal is make sure they don't get any momentum on the ground, force them into a one-dimensional offense where they're passing, in medium to long passing situations, get after Blau in those situations, force him to make some mistakes. And then, for the secondary, just do your best not to let them take the top off the defense. That's what they're going to try to do. They're going to try to throw deep quite a few times, take the top off the defense. You just cannot get lost. We've seen that happen a couple of times where Indiana's secondary gets turned around on a deep pattern and the guy gets open. It's been missed by the quarterback a couple times, and, opponents have connected on it a couple times as well. So just be aware of that. It's a fairly transparent game plan for Purdue, and probably a fairly straightforward week of preparation for the defense. It's just going to come down to execution and how well Indiana's secondary can contain the deep passing attack and how well the front can pressure David Blau and prevent him from getting into a rhythm.
Yeah, I agree with that. And on the defense, we've been where Purdue is, where the offense puts up a lot of numbers and the defense stinks. So,
right.
Watching
yep.
The first few games where Purdue alternated wins and losses, you could see Blau trying to put too much on his shoulders. There are times where he should have thrown the ball away and he tries to dump it to a covered running back and it almost turns into an interception.
Yep.
For Indiana's defense, you'd hope you get some depth back there with – Chase Dutra didn't play against Michigan, according to the participation report. Ben Bach went down. It looked like an upper body injury with his arm. He didn't return, I don't think. Rashard Fant is a little banged up. You saw him go down against Michigan but come back in. If D'Angelo Yancey is running downfield, guys are going to get worn out running that way. And maybe some of this depth can come back and help them out. But you're right. It's, pick something to stop. And if you could stop this running game, that makes them one-dimensional. And anytime you can make a team one-dimensional, they might be easier to beat. Now, IU did that with Penn State. And I believe that this is the kind of offense – it doesn't have the playmakers that Penn State has, but it's the kind of offense we're going to see against IU is, if the run game's not there, they're just going to chuck it. And that's what Penn State did. IU made some of those 50-50 plays in the first half, early in the third quarter. They're going to have to make those 50-50 plays against Purdue to come out with the win. Also, let's talk about Indiana's offense first.
Yep.
Purdue is ranked 121st in the nation in giving up points with 39.4 per game. They're also 121st in the country with giving up rushing yards. I believe they're giving up 246.3. So IU's running game has taken advantage of poor rush defenses before. You saw it against Maryland, where they broke out the bacon and legs package. I expect to see that this on Saturday again. We'll see. But this is a team that IU shouldn't have trouble running against. It's not as good a front as Michigan or Penn State or Ohio State or even Rutgers' front did a decent job. They did have some talent up there, but they do have Jake Rapogle and Galen Robinson, but we'll see where it goes. If IU can't run the ball, it might be a long day for the Hoosiers, but they should be able to get a good running game going and then build the pass off of there. Purdue's pass defense is right smack in the middle of the nation, around 52nd or so. allowing 215.6 yards per game. They really haven't played a passing offense like IU's yet this year, at least I don't think. But this is an offense or a defense that IU is going to score against, and it could be a big day on the ground and in the air.
Yeah, closest thing they came to a prolific passing offense was Nebraska, and they did decently against that. Nebraska had some injuries during that game, before that game going into it, so it's hard to tell. But, yeah, Indiana, you know, second in passing behind Purdue, so which I know IU fans are a bit down on the offense, but if you look at the numbers that they've put up, it's still right there near the top of the Big Ten. It's been just converting on scoring chances, as we've talked about ad nauseum here, so we won't go back and rehash that. But it's been an offense that has put themselves in plenty of position to have another really good season, and they've had a solid season, and it's just been some missed opportunities have prevented it from being great. Passing game, I think what your hope is for this game, and Jacob Bailey mentioned it on Monday, that, you know, a good mark of physicality in a football game is how well you can run the ball, and he said that Indiana was making it a point this week to be the more physical team, to establish the running game. And I think that's the mindset they're going to go into it with is, you know, it's our senior day, and there's plenty of seniors on that offensive line, Bailey, Rogers, Dan Feeney, Demetri Camille not playing, obviously. They hope he'll be able to play in a bowl game if they get there, but I think it's going to be just the mindset of this team on Saturday to come out and physically overwhelm Purdue's defense, pound it down their throat, you know, rack up, you know, 250, 300 on the ground, and that sets up, you know, your passing game to allow. I think what you're thinking of is ideally is probably a lot like the Maryland game from an offensive standpoint. Maybe not
the exact same. And there won't be weather to deal with either this week.
That's true, yeah. They'll have the bacon and legs package on tape. I think you'll see tweaks of that. What I hope to see is more of Kameon Patrick lined up back there with that package, or Kameon Patrick lined up as a, you know, traditional tailback getting some snaps with Majette and Williams, their status for Saturday unknown. But I think you're going to see a lot of running from Indiana. I think it's going to be successful. The numbers, benchmarks, I don't know, but I do think you're looking for something in the range of 5 yards a carry, 250, 300 yards rushing, and really just control the game on the ground. Again, if you're doing that, you cannot have the fumble issues like you had against Rutgers. You cannot have interception issues like you did against Wake Forest. You know, against Rutgers, it almost proved fatal. Against Wake Forest, it was. And I think the offense is going to have a nice, very nice day against this Purdue defense as long as they don't hurt themselves.
I agree. And then, you know, I talked about the weather a second ago. It's going to be the high is 51. The winds are...
Yeah.
Six miles an hour, gusting at 9. You know, there's no chance of rain, apparently. We'll see. There's always a chance of rain to me. But it's
sure.
A 0% chance of precipitation. So, you know, you saw, you know, the issues that this team had last week in the weather. Shouldn't happen this week. But, you know, to me, the X factor is going to be the effort. Is this Indiana team going to play down to Purdue's level, or are they going to play up to the level of their opponent like they did against Michigan last week, like they did against Penn State, like they have done against Ohio State, and things like that? So, you know, it's we referenced basketball earlier. This is a game where you're not just going to show up to the building and win. You're going to have to put forth a lot of fight. The bucket's on the line. IU's had the bucket out in practice the last couple of days. We've heard the seniors talk about it, how important that bucket is, and really, you know, they've embraced the rivalry, and, you know, that's what they're going to have to do and bring an effort out there. But to me, talent-wise, IU's just better. It is going to come down to mistakes. But, you know, what's your you know, we've kind of gone over keys of the game, but let's focus it a little bit more. What's your first key to the game, TJ?
I went turnovers to start with. Then after that, I you know, my second was IU's improved secondary and continuously improving defense against the Big Ten's leading passing attack. I don't think that they're actually the best passing attack, but statistically they are the leading passing attack and they're very good. And then, you know, third, I had pound the rock, meaning just completely control the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. Shut down Purdue's struggling running game. Don't give them any reason to hope that they'll be able to run it on Saturday. Shut it down early and often, and do not let them gain any momentum with that running game, because Markell Jones is talented, and if he gets going, you know, and they get some confidence in running the ball, that could be a problem. It would open up their passing game, which would then become more dangerous with the deep passes on play action. And then, you know, offensively running it yourself, which I really think that that is the way Indiana, I mean, we know the way Indiana wants to play. They want to establish that run, and then it makes the passing game that much more effective. And I think if Indiana is able to successfully run the ball, I know that Purdue's defense is in the middle and actually kind of near the top in yards per game allowed in the Big Ten, but I think a lot of that has to do with teams have so much success running the ball and they have leads in the second half that they're not particularly compelled to pass on Purdue with the game in hand. So I think Indiana, particularly what I'm hoping to see, is really strong running game, and then I want to see, you know, a nice day for the seniors. I want to see a nice day for everybody, obviously. It's against Purdue. I want to, you know, beat the crap out of them, but I'm hoping in particular to see a nice day for the senior wide receivers, Ricky Jones and Mitchell Page. It'd be really cool to see them, you know, at least have a few solid plays and be able to get a comfortable victory for those guys that have meant a lot to the program. And I'd love to see them go out on a positive note, getting the bucket for the fourth time and having something to do with the victory. So kind of my game plan thinking is force Blau into mistakes through pressure, take advantage of any errant throws because there are going to be some, don't let him get into a rhythm, and then on offense, establish that run early and often. I don't care how you do it. I don't care if it's the bacon and legs package. I don't care if it's Kameon Patrick. I don't care if it's you know, Ryan Redding, or if it's a breakout, you know, a breakout from somebody else. I don't care how it gets done, as long as it's legal, obviously. But I don't care how it gets done. Just establish the run and get yourself a lead. The last thing that I want, besides a loss, the last thing that I want to see happen is for Indiana to struggle, allow Purdue to hang around in the game, and have it be incredibly stressful for the entire, you know, 60 minutes of game time. That is my fear, is that Indiana will have, you know, seemingly have control of the game, seem like the better team, but make little mistakes, Purdue to hang around in there and have a shot at it in the fourth quarter. Indiana has had a hard time blowing teams out, even when they are, you know, clearly more talented than they are. They've had a hard time just putting the throat, or, you know, putting the foot down on the throat and putting the team away and having a convincing victory. I really want to see them getting the win is the most important thing. So I guess style points don't matter. But I'm not saying for style points. I'm just saying for my sanity and for IU fans' sanity, let's have a game that IU controls from the get-go and just, you know, waxes them thoroughly. That would be really enjoyable.
Yeah, kind of like the 2013 game, except with better defense from IU.
Yes.
All of those are good keys. I'd like to add, you know, special teams is to go along with your mistake-free football. You know, if IU punts or when IU punts, let's get Joseph Gideon back into the swing of things. He struggled last week, and it cost them the game and field position. So get him going back again. Continue to get Griffin Oakes's confidence back up. He looks like he's, you know, second week he was 2 for 2 on his kicks. He kicked very well with the wind. He got 2 touchbacks. Now there's not going to be wind on Saturday, so I'd like to see, you know, at least 70% of his kicks go for touchbacks, 0% to go for touchdowns. And none out of bounds. That would be terrific as well. I think he's had 4 out of bounds this year, which is a lot. So we'll see where they go for there. But that's one way Purdue could get back into this game is through special teams errors by IU. Like you said, killer instinct. That's number 2 for me is Purdue's a bad team. They're 3-8 coming in. They've had 5 wins over the last 2 years. This team is going through some changes. There's going to be a coaching change. Don't let them stick around and get out to a big lead. Like in the 2013 game, I believe it was 42-7 at one point or 41-7. And, you know, Purdue fought back to make it 56-36. But, you know, put this team out of its misery. And IU has not, like you said, IU has not been able to do that in a while. So, you know, put this team out of its misery. Don't let them up off the mat, and don't let them believe that they're in the game. You know, I don't expect a huge crowd, but the crowd that's there wants to see IU win and give them something to cheer about. It's going to be sunny. It's going to be nice. Give them something to cheer about and, you know, make Purdue – throw in the towel. I don't expect them to throw in the towel, but you know, if it's 42-10 or something, or 35-7, that goes a long way into taking the will of that opponent after a long season, which they have struggled. Yeah. And we've all, as IU football fans, we've all been there with that season where you just want it to be over. But you know, maybe it Purdue's at that point in their program right now where they just want it to be over, start new next year with a new coach and start that over again. So we'll see. Finally, takeaways and turnovers. You know, if IU wins the turnover battle, they'll win the game. You know, Blau has thrown 23 interceptions. The running backs have fumbled the ball, but Indiana can't level the playing field by giving it right back. Richard Lego has been solid over his last couple games in terms of throwing picks. I think going back to the Maryland game, which was, four games ago, he's thrown 2 picks in 4 games, which is a lot better than what he's been doing in the beginning of the season. So it looks like he's getting in better rhythm with the offense and his receivers. So, you know, let's continue that streak of no interceptions from him, and then hold on to the ball. You know, these seniors, Ricky Jones, Mitchell Westbrook, want to win. They want another month of the season with their guys, with their friends, with their teammates, with these coaches. So, you know, as Wilson said after Penn State, after the Penn State game, don't squeeze too tight. The seniors are going to have to hold on to the ball. You know, receiving wise, running the ball, and we'll see where IU does go with the running game. They've been without Majette and Devontae Williams the last week or so. They're down to 2 scholarship running backs. I'm not counting Camion because he's been playing mainly as receiver. So they're down to 2 scholarship running backs in Tyler Nitti and Devine Redding. You know, Ricky Brookins looked okay last week. Alex Rodriguez had a nice run, and this is where maybe last year against Purdue you saw Andrew Wilson play well. Ricky Brookins played well. Majette played well. So, you know, this is a defense that's not – this is not the 85 Bears, and You know, if you could get different guys in the game and get them going, IU's going to win. And I'm pretty confident in that. And we'll get to projections. TJ, what's your projection?
I am going to predict a 38-20 victory for the Hoosiers. I do think it will be a fairly comfortable win for IU, but not a complete blowout where you are not worried at all about the outcome in the fourth quarter. I think Purdue will still have a bit of a prayer in the fourth quarter, but not a realistic shot at pulling it out. I don't think we'll be biting our fingernails to the final till the clock hits zero. So I'll go 38-20 Hoosiers and a 6-6 record, at which point I am going to project they go to the Foster Farms Bowl in Santa Clara, California.
Great. And with that news, I'd like to tell our readers about our Amazon ad, which will help us go to the Foster Farms Bowl. Holiday season is coming up. We got Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, all the great holidays coming up. My birthday is up there as well, coming up next week. But if you do your shopping on Amazon, we have an Amazon portal on our website. It is right now. It's Tom Brew's book on Todd Judlow called On the Rebound. You just click on that. You don't have to buy the book. It takes you to Amazon. It opens up a 24-hour window where we get a referral bonus for your purchases at no cost to the buyer. So that's a great way to help support us, help support our writers who do such a great job at bringing you IU football coverage and help cover some of our travel costs. So we keep an eye out for that. We'll put out something later in December as it gets closer to Christmas about that. But back to projections, TJ, I'm going to go 49-21 Indiana. You have the Sharps in Vegas sweating it out a little bit. I'm going to say Indiana's going to put this one away after halftime pretty easily. Purdue's going to make it a game in the first half, score a few touchdowns, and then turnovers and mistakes are going to add up for Purdue. Indiana has a lot more to play for than just pride again this year. We saw it last year where, you know, Indiana, Purdue hung around, and then Indiana finally, you know, those mistakes, turnovers added up for Purdue, and Indiana put them away for a 52-36 win. So I'm going to say the defense is a lot better this year for Indiana. Yancey makes a few big plays, but for the most part, Rashard Fant and the secondary will limit him in the second half after that. So I'm going to go 49-21 on my projection.
I will take that.
Yeah, so, you know, before we get out of here, TJ, and I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving and a happy Bucket Week and, with your families and all that stuff. Just one final thought going into Senior Day, going into the final regular season home game.
Well, I just think it's important to appreciate the hard work that, I know every graduating class into the program, but this one in particular has really done a great job for IU football. I know that it's not a top tier program. I know that they haven't turned it into a Big Ten title contender, but I think that they have really done a nice job of turning around the culture of IU football, progressing it to the level where they are a bowl program, a program that expects to go to bowl games. And if they can win on Saturday, a program that will have gone to back-to-back bowl games for the first time since 1991. I know that that's not, elite, but that's a good accomplishment for IU football, and it's something they should be proud of. And I'm proud of the guys that have put so much into it. So I think it's important to appreciate them and the work they've done to set Indiana football up for the future.
Yeah, and, that's well put. To me, they're still building this program. I would like to see this game and the season push back a week. I'd love to see the students on campus for this game. I really think that's a culture-building game I'd like to see some traditions come off of it. They used to have the John Perdue, burial ceremony. I think they did that one year in 2008. It was fun to be at. It was a total college football type of thing to do, and that's what's missing. So I'd like to see this game move back a week, or if you want to move it up a week, whichever direction. I just hate it that students aren't on campus enjoy a rivalry like this, and it really is a rivalry. But to me, the senior class, you have Dan Feeney and Jake Bailey, Ricky Jones, Mitchell Page, Ralph Green, all these guys have given so much to the program. And I know I'm forgetting people like T.J. Simmons, Clyde Newton, Wes Rogers, Dawson Fletcher. These guys have all played a lot of football and have really started to change the culture. And to get them out of here with a sixth win, with a second straight bowl game, would be huge, and another win over Purdue will keep that momentum rolling, and we'll see where they go. I think this program is on the rise. Is it where people want it to be? No. People want it to be an 8-4, 9-3 program, maybe even a 7-5 program. But right now, you got to take the necessary steps to get to that level. And right now they are the 6-6 team who's going to bowl games. And if they win on Saturday, that's their second straight bowl. And you're starting to check things off on that list that haven't happened in decades.
Right.
Whether it be four straight bucket wins, whether it be back-to-back bowl games, recruiting classes, stuff like that. So, you're starting to rewrite the record book slowly and starting to change the culture. Now, it's get this one, get those 15 practices, get those young guys coached up and gear up for the bowl game, and then, continue these guys' legacy who are leaving on Saturday by getting the win and moving this program in the right direction again. So some game information. The game kicks off at noon. The TV is on ESPNU, so check your local listings for that. The weather is supposed to be spectacular, 51 degrees, clear, plenty of sun, a perfect fall day for the bucket game in Bloomington, and a good day, well, any day is a good day to beat Purdue, but a particularly fantastic day to beat Purdue.
Yep, could not agree more.
All right, well, that does it for our bucket game pregame show. Hopefully we're back on Monday or Sunday with the victory and some bowl talk and just some overall thoughts from the bucket game. TJ, thanks for coming on again. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you later.
Absolutely, yeah. Thanks to all you guys for listening. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yep. Thanks for tuning in to our pregame show. Have a happy Thanksgiving with your family. Enjoy a weekend full of football. You have Colts on Thursday, IU on Saturday, various college games mixed in as well. And then, of course, NFL Sunday. But thank you for listening. Check back to HoosierHuddle.com often as we have new content coming out daily. We'll have our Keys to Victory coming out either tomorrow or Friday and our Game Day Primer as well. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. And do check out that Amazon. Help us out with some travel costs and getting us to a bowl game. So thank you very much. Enjoy your Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you on Sunday.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Ah! Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.